This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and whatever comes to your mind today. In the first hour, we'll have a guest in the second hour talking about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. I think Joe Evans is going to be here with the Department of Natural Resources. And, well, I guess it's up to you and I to run the first hour of the show. So whatever you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about. Grab your phone and give us a call here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Outside the local Baltimore dialing area, 1-800-922-6680. That's how you get in touch with us here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And I know I don't give that number out often enough, but I've had a number of people tell me the banjo music wakes them up early in the morning, and we're glad to hear that. Good morning, Sharon. And we just, do what we do here and have been doing for the last 25 years or so. So, lots going on. I spent the last 2 days actually on the lower eastern shore. Spent a day in, on Thursday. I spent most of the day in, Chrisfield. Nice little place. Coming around really nicely. A lot of people have invested a lot of money and a lot of hope in Chrisfield. And the seafood business is turning around a little bit. The crab population is coming up a little bit. There was a big soft crab run, and the folks down there are getting pretty happy. There's some new restaurants going in, some new owners on some old restaurants. And I also had a chance to meet with my buddy Lou down there from the Maryland Bowhunter Society, and we had lunch together the other day. So it's it was nice. It was nice being in Chrisfield and talking to the folks. And Maryland Loves Crabs magazine is a big hit in that town because of the, of course, the seafood and commercial interest. A lot of interesting comments from watermen and people in the seafood business. A lot of talk about the crab market and things like that. And followed that up by heading to Ocean City and wondering how anybody makes any money on the crab business in Ocean City, because there's a crab shop on every corner. But I don't know if the population supports all that. It's a tough market for us as far as Maryland Loves Crabs. But, you know, we do what we do. Then I spent the following day, Friday, yesterday, I started my day in Hooper's Island. In the last 2 days, I've visited half a dozen or so picking houses. Reconnected with some old friends and, some folks I've gotten to know and meet over the last couple of years, and stopped by just about every picking house and business on Hooper's Island. And again, more information on the crab business, the crab market, and that type of thing. And, oh, coffee, good first slurp there. Ooh, that's good coffee. So, it's been an interesting day. I'm tired. I finished up on Ken Island eating a crab cake down at Chesapeake Outdoors with Kimmy's little crab trailer down there on the parking lot. And I was in Federalsburg and talked to our local company that's been around for a long, long time, a company called Maryland Plastics. They make a tremendous amount of products for giant corporations and markets across the world. And they do it all right there in Federalsburg and employ a lot of people. And it's a good bunch of folks. So we deal with them as well and on a regular basis. So it's always nice to see friends and talk about Morning, Jack, if you're listening. see friends about business and hear about their lives and hear about their businesses, and that's what I do every day. It's never the same. So a couple wildlife notes. What day was it? Might have been last Saturday. I'd taken the dog out in the afternoon, gotten home, took the dog out in the afternoon, and a couple of years ago in a storm, I had a mulberry tree break off, and it kind of bent over. It didn't actually fall down. It's just kind of bent over in the yard, and the top of the bend is now about 15 feet off the ground. And I took the dog out for a walk, and I happened to glance up in the mulberry tree just to see if there's any mulberries ripe yet. And there on the very top of the branch, it would have been on the side of the tree. Of course, the tree had fallen over, so it was the very top, was a groundhog trying very hard to be very still, 15 feet in the air. So I took a couple pictures with my phone. They're rather poor quality, but I thought it was interesting. That's about the fourth or fifth groundhog I've actually seen climb a tree. And first one I saw was also in a mulberry tree. When I was just a kid, I was rabbit hunting in late October and going through one of my favorite haunts where I like to kick the rabbits out of the high grass. And I turned around, and there was a groundhog face to face with me in a mulberry tree. And a couple of years ago, I saw one climb a tree. So very interesting to see a groundhog in a tree, and especially that high up. I didn't think they went quite that high, but there he laid right up on top of that mulberry tree. Down in lower Dorchester County, I was going across from Taylor's Island to Hooper's Island on Smithville Road. And I always like to watch for sika deer and other things. And, of course, yesterday was another day. Pretty early in the morning, there were eagles, three different eagles, one mature and two immature. I saw them take off. That was kind of cool. A week ago when I was down there, I had seen this bird before and I wasn't sure what it was. Just a flash of white, spectacular flash of white. And I got to see the entire bird this time for a little bit longer. Only a couple of seconds, but long enough to be able to get a description of it, and came back and looked it up, and it turned out it was a red-headed woodpecker, very, very spectacular bird. Red head, black wings, white body. The description on one of the websites said it's a flying checkerboard, and that it is, black and white and red. So I was pretty tickled to be able to actually identify that bird that I had seen only twice this year and only twice in my life. I'd never seen one before and in the same spot both times. So that was pretty cool. I may have told you about heading up 70 last week. And please, if I did, I apologize. Had a sharp-shinned hawk swoop down from somewhere and kind of came up alongside my car, and it was after a bird in the median strip. And, I mean, it was right on my fender. It was probably 3 feet from my car, and it was in a power dive to catch that bird. And I think I might have spooked the bird. The bird flared, little bird, whatever it was, a sparrow or something, just as the hawk got there, and I went by. I don't know if he caught the bird or not, but it's pretty cool to watch sharp-shinned hawks and Cooper's hawks actually catch birds and eat them in front of you. I don't feel too bad for the little bird, but it's pretty cool because I like the big hawks, the big birds of prey, the Acipters and the Buteos. So 410 WCBM 680 is the number that you call if you'd like to weigh in. We'd love to hear from you here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Another drink of coffee there. We're going to talk about the settlement of the Menhaden lawsuit. See, a friend of mine is mentioned in the lawsuit as the chairman of the Harvesters Land and Sea Coalition, a group of watermen that filed a lawsuit against the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. And that all came to a conclusion this week. And there's an article written by WBOC in Salisbury that we'll take a look at and see how that resulted for the Maryland watermen. So Speaking of Marilyn Waterman, I talked to another friend of mine who's a clammer. He does the razor clams, and I said, "Have you seen any doubleheads this year? Any cow nosed rays?" He said, "I saw the first one this week." Now that's late. That's late. I don't know if that means that the little crabs are going to get a break, but if the invasion of the rays happens again, it's certainly impactful. So what do we do? What do we do about the huge influx of cow-nose rays in the Chesapeake Bay? And we'll talk about that, too. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors. I mentioned them earlier, located right there on Kent Island. Lot going on there. Lot going on. I mean, not only do they have the largest selection of hunting and fishing and crabbing supplies on Kent Island, well, they do. They have rods and reels and tackle and lots of live bait, lots of frozen bait. If you're going fishing, you can get ready for bow season with all their bows, Parker, Barnett, Matthews, Mission crossbows, full line of crossbows, too, firearms, ammo, waterfowl calls. But the crabbing supplies, they got a big selection of crabbing supplies, too. And that's exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, Route 50 East on Kent Island, Maryland. But I got a call from one of the fellows that has a lot to do with that business the other day. He said, "Tell people about our big tent. There's a big blue and white tent on the corner of the parking lot. And I stopped by yesterday. It's beachwear. And shorts and T-shirts for other sports. There's no camo. I mean, but it's all it's national brands: ActiveX, Yale Sportswear, Sports Her Way. A lot of ladies' stuff. If you're going to the beach, you owe it to or coming from the beach. Either way, you owe it to yourself to stop by that big tent because the prices are unbelievable. Beachwear, board shorts, lacrosse, soccer, basketball, workout tops and bottoms, hoodies, sports bras, yoga pants, reversible panties, dry fit T-shirts, lacrosse warm. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, the prices are incredible. Incredible. One of these moisture-wicking T-shirts, you know, like the big manufacturers make and tout for sports, $5, guys. And $2 to $10 on most of the stuff. Any second item, 50% off. And there's a grab-it table with a lot of dollar items. I'm telling you, you can take the family of four there and outfit everybody for the beach for like $50. I mean, it's unbelievable. So stop by. And that's, again, Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore fishermen and hunters on Kent Island, Route 50 East, exit 39B. And the phone number there is 410-604-2500, 604-2500. But do stop by that big blue and white tent sale. They're going to be there for a while and a lot of stuff. There's some cool purple warm-up hoodies, too, for the sports fans. All right, moving right along. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners.
Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Shinseki is gone. Who's going next in the VA scandal? We'll talk about it on the next Tom Maher Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Out there trolling up those rockfish.
Taking the line.
Taking the line.
My dog Sammy's purple flowers. Ain't got much for what we got towers. But we dig snow and rain and the bright.
We need to get a little Sam the Sham in there. How do you catch a girl? That's related. When you hear it, it's related to what we do here. Saw them in concert, 1968. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. Wooly Bully, Ring Dang Doo. I don't know if they did How Do You Catch a Girl or not, but I heard that on the radio the other day, and it inspired me to tell my producer to try and find that this morning, which I just did. All right. This is from... yeah, I know. This... Huh? Little Red Riding Hood's fun, too. Yeah, I like that song. Yep. See if you can find that somewhere. How do you catch a girl? All right. All right. This is from WBOC in Salisbury, Channel 16. The title is Lawsuit by Waterman Against Maryland DNR Comes to an End. It's been a long road for Captain Boo Pally. Now, in the accent of the area, that becomes Paley, Boo Paley, chairman of the Harvesters Land and Sea Coalition, a group that filed a lawsuit against the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. You may remember back in October, the coalition's lawsuit claimed the state had unfairly and with no scientific evidence cut the quotas on the Menhaden fishery at the request of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. They say that Virginia, which houses the company Omega Protein that catches the fish in bulk, which they do, got 80% of the Atlantic quota, and Maryland received only 1.3%. Wednesday's trial in itself was a 10.5-hour-long ordeal for Pally, but in the end, he wasn't even able to argue his point. Quote, the merits of the case weren't even heard. There was no professional testimony by any scientist on how many menhaden are in the bay. We just lost on a technicality. It's hard to lose because the paperwork wasn't filed soon enough, said Pally. The assistant attorneys general representing the DNR successfully argued that they were not given enough time to question the Waterman's witnesses ahead of time. The judge dismissed the coalition's witnesses as a result, and once they had rested their case, the DNR lawyers asked for judgment. The judge ruled in the favor of the DNR, meaning the quotas will stay as is. WBOC reached out to the DNR for comment, and Secretary Joe Gill sent the following statement. We're very pleased with yesterday's, that was Wednesday's, ruling, which confirmed DNR's authority to manage Atlantic Menhaden by regulation to comply with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. States from Maine to Florida have shared interest in the conservation and management of the Atlantic Menhaden and implemented coordinated management measures in 2013 to boost populations and benefit surrounding ecosystems. Widely known as the most important fish in the sea, menhaden are a key source of food for a variety of fish, bird, and marine mammals. The decision supports the tireless effort and professionalism of our team and their commitment to using the best science available in managing Maryland's natural and living resources for the greatest benefits of all the citizens and visitors. Going forward, we remain committed to fulfilling the Commission's Atlantic Menhaden Plan that takes into consideration our diverse stakeholder perspective and seeks to mitigate the socioeconomic impacts to Maryland fishermen, said Gill. So, you know, he said what is politically expedient in that particular case in response to the ruling on the website. But Pally, Mr. Boo Pally, and if you're listening, you're welcome to call, Boo. I know we've talked before. Had enough. I'm 61. I'll be 62 next year. I'm thinking about retiring, letting four people go off my boat and close it all and sell everything I've got and move out of this state because I'm ashamed to be here, said Pally. But, he said, the harvesters of land and sea are already turning their attention to another fight, the Little Chop Tank Oyster Project, which we've discussed here in the past. So, what do you think? 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. You're welcome to give us a call. If you like. Is my microphone on? I'm just wondering. Okay. Can you check and can you run out to your car and see if we're actually on the air? Oh, you won't do that? Oh, really? The equipment tells us we're on the air? The little red sign that lights up that says on air? Okay. I just wondered. I mean, you know. Let's see. Let me ask a provocative question. Like snakeheads, the cow-nose ray invades our bay, not as an invasive species, but in a natural entity, a natural predator, invades our bay when the water temperature gets warm enough to spawn and to come in. And I'll never forget the first squadron of cow-nose rays I saw. I was fishing at Point Lookout. Kathy and I were down at Point Lookout on the fishing pier. And as we were there, a boat came in and was spreading oyster spat around the base of the pier. And or maybe it was just shells to set the spat. I don't know. But the cow-nose rays were coming in there in groups of 8, 10, 12, 20. And with military-like precision, they were you know, back and forth in the shallow waters there. I don't know if they were all spawning or what the deal was. But there were plenty of them. And these are big fish. These are big, big fish that have the capability of sucking up an oyster and cracking its shell and sucking the oyster out. And I'm going to guess that they eat a lot of crabs when they come in mass like that. The second encounter I had with cow-nose rays was fishing the Honga River with Tommy Goody down from Goody's Marine. And I'd hooked one of these fish, I think, when I was bottom fishing. We were first looking for sea trout, and I was bottom fishing, and I hooked up with this big fish, and it took off, and the line came up to the surface, and Tommy says, "It's a ray, just a stingray." He called a stingray a cow-nose ray. He said, "Just break the line. Just cut the line." "Are you sure?" "Yep." So I pointed the rod at the fish and held the line, and the line snapped, and, of course, fish went away. And without missing a beat, Tommy said, "Red drumax, just like that." Well, I was annoyed for a moment, but we had a good laugh about it. The third encounter I had with a cow-nosed ray on Chesapeake was I was aboard a charter boat, And we had fisheries officials on board, Francis McFadden and Howard King, and they had gotten together a group of writers at the time from the Mason-Dixon Outdoor Writers Association, and I was on board. I can't say the name of the charter captain. He's passed on now, so it doesn't matter. But we were fishing. They'd picked up the writers. Several charter boats picked up the writers at the dock in Annapolis, and out on the bay we went. And the goal was to try and catch anything other than striped bass. That we were in the what was it called at the time? Catch a Fortune. Remember that, the Catch a Fortune contest, when they had tagged fish out there and they were worth a lot of money, and this was to promote the Chesapeake Bay. Well, the captain wasn't prepared to do any light tackle fishing, so we took the big trolling rods and we rigged them up with top and bottom rigs, and he begged some bloodworms from another captain, and we went bottom fishing with trolling rods, and we're catching 4 and 5 and 6 inch white perch. And one of the other writers, who's also gone now, Chris Hohenstein, had hooked up with a ray, and it had crossed my line and broke his line. And now I've got this ray tangled on my line. And I bring this cow-nose ray in, and the captain says, "Oh, I'll take care of that." He said, "I'm going to let Stanley take care of that." So he brought the ray up on the gunwale, not in the boat, and walked to the front of the boat and got about a 30 ounce ball peen hammer, and proceeded to let Stanley take care of that cow nose ray. And once the ray had sufficiently stopped flapping, he then cut his top and bottom rig out of the ray, because he wanted to save his rig. Of course, fisheries officials were appalled by the behavior. I just laughed. So the question is, on cow-nose rays, what do we do? What do we do? Virginia tried to promote them as a food source. And I guess they're edible. They take a lot of work to prepare. But there are recipes online for basically catching the cow nose ray. You take the wings off. You fillet the meat out of the wings. You can, cut it with a cookie cutter and make faux scallops out of it. Or you can, you can deep fry it, I guess. So there's a variety of ways to prepare it. I've never eaten it. I don't know too many people who have. But do we have a once a year fishing contest and then a big fish fry at the end with the cow nose, the catch of cow nose rays? Do we get together the seafood marketing people and try to come up with a group of restaurants that will show up in a big tent and present their cow nose ray recipes for people to try? Do we start to promote the food fair and the catchability and the sport fishing aspect of the cow nose ray? Will any of that do any good, I guess, is the question. Will any of that do anything to cut back on the population? Because they're highly mobile, and they are a good target, a favorite target of people who like to bow fish. They go out on their boats and they get into shallow waters and they'll take a shot at a cow nose ray, just like a carp or a snakehead or even a shark, and a gar, an alligator, whatever you want to shoot at aquatically with your bow and arrow, and they put up a pretty good fight, and that would be another way. But we're talking about a need to control the population, or do we just let nature take its course? If we let nature take its course with the regular ebb and flow of populations of aquatic species, just like, hardheads come and go, bluefish come and go, we're in the, I think, the downward side of a giant striped bass surge here in the Chesapeake Bay. What's next? I don't know. I mean, the trout were here 20 years ago, big tide runner trout were here and in Delaware Bay. Where are they now? So I guess the question is to our listeners, any thoughts, any ideas, any recipes, any any way that you think we could deal with this potential problem to our crab fishery, to our clam fishery, to our oyster fishery? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is the phone number. And it's not necessarily proven that the double heads are that giant of a problem. Some people say just let them alone. They don't harm anything. I heard other theories on the crab situation, particularly about the Hurricane Sandy, timing of Hurricane Sandy and the crab spawn, and the ebb and flow of freshwater influx into the bay and washing the little crabs out into the ocean or wherever they went. And now that the crabs have reestablished themselves, they look for some of the watermen look for nothing but a increased growth in the population. So, you know, I mean, certainly the storm had an impact. Maybe the cold winter had an impact. I don't know. We had a good, like I said, we had a good shed. There's a good shed going on in North Carolina right now. Is that where our little crabs wound up? Got washed out into the Gulf Stream and floated to North Carolina. We have a good shed in the Crisfield area, Tangier and Pocomoke Sounds. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there, and nobody's throwing anything back. So it's time for you to do that. I'm going to check my email. 410-922-6680 is the phone number. Excuse me for a minute. If you hear dead air, that's because it's your turn to call, and I'm checking my email. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. Stopped by Clyde's the other day. They're all into fishing. They've got the live bait, the frozen bait, the terminal tackle, the hooks and the weights and the swivels and the rigs and the rockfish lures and the, you know, if you want to go crabbing, they have a complete selection of crabbing supplies, the open-top crab traps. And I was talking to one of the fellows the other day, caught a half a bushel of crabs. He had run his trot line and was out for a couple hours and caught a half a bushel of nice crabs. And so if you need any advice for fishing or crabbing, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to go. You can also pick up Maryland Hunting Quarterly there if you want. But also took a look back on the firearms rack, and they've got a couple of really nice guns back there. I like the Browning stuff. And, you know, I talk about the Browning firearms all the time. I'm actually shooting in a Sporting Clays tournament this coming Saturday. And I thought how nice it would be to have an A5 or a 725 Satori. Don't get me wrong, I've got a couple of nice firearms to use for that, and I'll use those, but I thought that would be a great place to break in the A5. The new A5, by the way, from Browning is the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. It has 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. So if you're looking for a new firearm for any of the shooting sports or for waterfowl, certainly take a look at the A5. And of course, the BPS pump bottom ejection comes in just about every gauge, including 410. You might want to take a look at that too if you like the pump shotgun action. Clyde Sports Shop is where you find your full line of Browning firearms and handguns for personal and home protection, and, of course, the fishing tackle as well. Fishing hotline number is 410-247-FISH. The number for Clyde Sports Shop is 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. The website is clydesports.com. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Week in Review, now on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Won't somebody tell me, how do you catch a girl? Make a little piece of cheese and put it on a trap. If you don't catch a mouse, then you're bound to catch a rat. Make a tiny, shiny hook and a little piece of bait. If you're calm enough to wait, but how do you get your girl? How do you get your girl? Won't somebody tell me, how do you get your girl?
This is for the trappers, our trapping buddies.
Daniel Boone took a rifle and a coonskin cap, and he found a nice river and he settled it. Took a bite of turkey and he took a little nap. And he knew he'd catch a fever or a fat muskrat. But how do you catch a girl? How do you catch a girl? Won't somebody tell me, please, how do you catch a girl?
Told you it was timely to this show. I certainly did. Yep. I listen for that stuff. What can I say? I reveal my age when I play those songs from my generation. I love that song. All right. 410-WCBM 680 is our phone number. Let's get serious here about making a phone call to your buddy Alan. And we'll talk more about the Maryland Fishing Challenge coming up in the next hour with Joe Evans from the Department of Natural Resources. But... hey, here we got a call. How about that? Talk to Eric in Baltimore. Good morning, Eric. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
I just want to tell you, it's annoying me that I can't go out and shoot deer and bunnies and polar bears and hunt these animals in this country.
You can't?
No, I can't because they're restricting my Second Amendment rights.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm telling you that the state of Maryland has taken away my gun rights. They have restricted my Second Amendment rights.
You personally or everybody?
I personally am not allowed to own a firearm in the state of Maryland.
Right. Okay, why? You have a conviction on your record from 20 years ago.
I have something on my record that allows me not to own a firearm, so I can't buy a gun in the state.
Well, tough. Shouldn't have done the crime if you couldn't do the time.
Well, I want the right to hunt polar bears. That's what I want.
Well, Eric, let me tell you something, Eric. Just because you are restricted from owning a firearm because of some mistake or, you know, shall we say, act.
That doesn't give the state the right to restrict the Constitution. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Nobody will listen to me.
You know why? Because when you talk about hunting polar bears, you sound like a moron.
Well, I'm just messing around with the polar bear bit. But
Can't hunt polar bears in this country because George Bush, in his wisdom, declared it, allowed his administration to declare the polar bear an endangered species under the Marine Animals Protection Act and disallowed any import of polar bear parts, including hides and heads, into this country. Now, wait a minute. Let me talk. Eric, let me talk. Eric, let me talk. I'm trying to give you some education so you don't sound like a moron, okay? The polar bear population has tripled since the 1960s. All this was in response to the environmental activist community who were touting global warming back at the end of the Bush administration. Okay? So, you don't have the right to hunt polar bears in this country. And as far as the state of Maryland restricting your gun rights, I believe that that is a federal, law that says if you have a conviction on your record that could have gotten you a year in jail, no matter when it happened, you are not allowed to own a firearm. And if you applied for a firearm and you lied on your application or omitted that conviction,
I haven't applied for the firearm because I know I can't get it. I'm not an idiot.
Well, then, okay. There are people that
radio station. Am I calling a conservative radio station?
Eric,
this country is being run by communists. It has been run by communists since Obama took office. This is a socialist program, and it's going to move across the entire United States until it encapsulates every single human being in this nation. And we're all going to be forced to eat the cough syrup and drink Kool-Aid. It's going to happen.
You see, there's no having a discussion with you, Eric.
Because when I try to speak, you speak over me.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you that. I'm telling you,
Eric,
that we live in a communist country. There are communists in power. They are running things. They've got things planned for you and me, and it's going to happen. And that's how the world works.
So let me ask you this question.
Sure, go ahead.
When I try to speak and address your issues, you continue to speak over me. So how can we have a dialogue?
And that's how I feel every time a conservative gets on the air. Have I reached a conservative radio station?
In general, yes. Why? What are you trying to say?
I'm just trying to say conservatives overpower with the voice, but we're all getting there together, man.
Well, Eric, are you a conservative?
Negative, man. I'm whoever I want to be. I burned my voter registration card 18 months ago.
I see. So you're more of a libertarian or an independent type?
I would say so.
Yeah, okay.
I think we should legalize all drugs. I think we should legalize prostitution. I think we should legalize gambling across the entire United States. I have no problem with Vegas and every city. Let people eat their vices. It just sucks money into the tax system and gives money back to people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I'm zero negative on anybody's tax. I can't sit on any political platform. I don't agree with any of these idiots. I am for full legalization of drugs. Lack of prohibition, complete legalization of gambling across the United States, 24-hour drinking policies in the city. You should be able to drink on any public street. I'm fine with that. I want zero state control on any of that mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know where I'm sorry, I just dropped you.
And we just dropped you. Fran, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You can't talk like that on the air, folks. And he apologized, but it was too late. He had already said the bad word. What's up, Fran?
Well, Alan, you know, this is one of your sober listeners.
Thank you very much.
Out here.
Thank you very much.
I think a lot of people are just sleepy, and you know.
Well, you know, I think the guy was tweaking a little bit, and I tried to give him a platform, but every time I tried to speak, you know. But anyway, so be it. He's in the past. What's up, Fran?
Well, listen, I wanted to call you a couple Saturdays back.
Uh-huh.
but I got distracted. My husband kept talking about something.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I missed, you know, the call. But anyway, the reason I wanted to call is because I heard you say about this advocate for hunting.
Yes.
And how you were going to be the driver of the bus.
I have to be.
I tell you, Alan, it brought a tear to my eye. I almost cried.
Well,
I am so proud of you.
Well, thank you.
But listen, let me tell you.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay, I'm asking all your audience something they can do, and that is this. Number one, support you with that. Number two, keep you in their prayers.
Thank you.
Because as the driver of this bus, you're going to have enemies unknown. Okay?
Oh.
And you're going to need a lot of extra prayer from all these people that do really listen. So I'm telling your sponsors, we're listening.
All right.
Be calling, but we're out here.
Thank you, Fran.
And so as the driver of the bus, also let me say this. I want to wish you a happy, maybe belated birthday.
Oh, thank you, Fran. I appreciate
you
that.
You seem to be a little shy about that.
Well,
I want to remind you of something, okay? If you're going to be the driver of this bus, you're going to need a lot of birthdays. So don't be shy about having them.
Well, right? I'm going to need a lot of help, too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You're going to need a lot of help. And listen, let me tell you, it's a lot of things I can't do. But volunteers, and when you have your fundraisers, I'm going to start a jar with your name on it. And I'm asking your audience to start a little jar or something and just keep putting change or dollars or whatever aside.
Maryland Hunting Coalition.
When you have your fundraiser, that is one thing I can contribute to.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
And we are listening. And every time you sip a cup of coffee, you make me want to go down and fix breakfast.
I'll tell you, I didn't bring any breakfast, but if I had a plate of over medium eggs and some dry rye toast, I'd be in heaven right now.
Right.
Maybe a side of bacon, but you know what? Thank you, Fran, for your kind words. I greatly appreciate that.
So
it is going to take a lot of people spreading the word.
Right.
You know, the news I keep seeing and keep hearing is positive from the hunting community. Here's where we are with this. We're in search of a couple of directors. Once we get our names of our directors, we're going to, you know, the paperwork's already at the account. They're already aware. They know what's going on. They're doing as much as they can do. They're waiting for the next move from me to name the directors, for this group so that we can file the paperwork. Once we have the, corporation filed with the state of Maryland, then we can apply for the tax exempt status. And, you know, we're on top of that. We're moving forward with that as quickly as we can. Now, there are so many issues, and we are pecking at those issues from the back door. We're talking to people, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, we're going ahead as though we already have the organization. We're letting folks know. We're talking to people in leadership positions. We're dealing with some people that we need to deal with right now to affect some change in the future when the General Assembly convenes. So, you know, things are moving ahead. There are, as you said, forces aligned against us, and we know that. But we just got to continue to move forward and you know, figure out a way to get this message to as many people as possible. I've got two meetings scheduled with some movers and shakers in the hunting community now, and we're going to continue to meet with those folks and continue to tell them about the coalition. And finally, the website is purchased. It's not up and running because there's no information on it yet. But, you know, like I said, we're taking it step by step and seeking a lot of counsel along the way. So, Fran, we thank you for your support. It is coming. It is coming. It might be 4th of July till we have everything ready to roll out. But trust me, we're working on it.
Well, I'm proud of you. So, you have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Fran. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Nice lady. Nice lady. Well, two calls. Couldn't be more opposite, you know? Do me a favor, listeners. And I know we need a call like that every now and like that first guy, every now and then to let you know who's out there listening and what you're dealing with in the world. But how do I want to say this? Nah, I'm not going to say it. I don't care who you are. Give us a call, 410-WCBM. I'll deal with it. I'll try to deal with it. But the one quick way for your call not to last is to not allow the host to have a discussion with you. If you want to talk over me or under me or, you know, it was very apparent very quickly that that there was no discussion going to take place. And of course, when I let it play out, you saw why. So there you go. All right. Moving right along. More calls. 410-WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. All right. Let's talk to Frank down in St. Michael's. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm just waking up, but heard a controversial call.
Oh, I don't know about controversial. The guy was just, you know, he was just showing his, you know.
I wanted to suggest that he throw all the razor blades in his house away.
Nah. Now he might put one to good use one of these days.
Anyway, out at the turkey hunting spot, I think I've kind of figured something out about that tree.
What'd you figure out?
The gobbler I got there last year came up this particular path.
Mm-hmm.
When these hens walked by me, they went by the same path.
Yep.
The turkeys do that, things like that habitually?
Yes.
Well, the advantage there, Al, is when they do that, the sun's in back of you, and you're nothing but a silhouette.
Right.
I hope you get up there, buddy, soon and get one.
Well, yeah. You keep sending me videos, and like I said, early on in the season, I couldn't reach you. I don't know if I put your number in my phone, but I'll get Brian to grab your number again before we go off the air. And
okay.
Yeah, it's been with everything that's happened this spring. You know, I'm trying to play catch up right now. I'm just logging a lot of miles on, and hunting's in the rearview mirror at the moment. So
you're always a busy man, Al.
I try to stay busy, man. I do. So, you have my email, right? You're the one you keep sending me videos.
Yeah.
Why don't you send me your email address? Well, I think I have it, but send it to me again, and put your phone number on there.
All right, we'll do, Al.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Have a great day.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
See you, Frank. There he goes. Well, Vic in Hamden, I'm sorry we're out of time, and there's the music. We won't get to your call, but if you want to hang on through the news, we'll check with you. And anybody would like to send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. If you'd like to have your name put on the list for the Maryland